How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
All right, on today's episode of Nothing Major, we have a Davis Cup recap. Big week for international tennis and the Davis Cup. We've got the ATP Awards nominations that are out, and we've got a quick update on Maldives Watch. Let's get going. All right, we are back. We got John Isner, Steve Johnson, myself, no Jack Sock today, Charlie Fox, the team at SIFT. Before we get going, a little housekeeping from my side. As you guys remember, my from New York, the dry cleaning bill that I talked about, the $1,600. Oh, yeah. The mothership in ESPN has refunded me for that. So big shout out to them. I got
big
repaid.
Shout out to them. That's like an early Christmas gift.
You surprised, John?
Well, I mean, like, I feel like, do you feel a little bad?
Kind of now.
Could you have gone anywhere else and gotten that done cheaper? That's kind of what I'm at.
No,
yes,
because it's like,
no,
you know,
because it was like 9 days in a row where I was leaving at like 9 a.m. and getting back after midnight. And like there wasn't a place open that early. I probably could have done a little more due diligence, but no.
Yeah.
At Wimbledon, I took them myself, found a cheaper place and paid for it.
Okay, but question. So you know. If you knew for a fact that you had to pay for your dry cleaning bill, would you have done the same?
Yes. I had no choice. I would, yeah.
Okay.
I would have done
fair
it.
Enough then.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So anyway, big shout out. Also, I played two more USTA matches over the weekend. On Friday, the team won 3-0. I won my match 6-2, 6-1. More importantly, yesterday, the team won 2-1. I lost my match in a third set breaker in the USTA 5-0 Plus League.
Is that a loss on you or is that on...
I played with this guy, Brant, at our club. Great guy. Good. Brant's probably 60. And we played two guys. Like, one guy was like 25, played at Northwestern. The other guy was like 27.
You were almost top 10.
We were down 6-2, 4-2, 40-15, and battled back, won the second, then lost the third in a breaker.
Yeah.
But the team won, more importantly. We've already qualified for sectionals. So regardless of how we do in the next two matches, we can move forward to the next...
People that think that just because you were a pro, you're going to dominate, it's doubles. It's not the case.
No, one dude was like ripping serves like 130.
I'm the club champion from like 2020 in Dallas. And our first round match was three sets, like 6-4 in the third. It was a total war. And I was ranked like 10 in the world. Dude,
yeah, it's worse that you played it while you were a pro. I'm at least retired.
Yes, that's worse. I know. But the thing is, you know, we played like this like high school senior. He was going on to play like low level college tennis and yeah, like a nasty lefty serve. It was hard.
Yeah.
Did you play the ad in that situation, John, or no? You weren't an ad guy.
I think I did play the ad, Stevie. Yeah. Yeah. Was not an ad guy.
You want to see a couple of nasty sliders out wide? That's not what you want to see.
My partner was lefty. Yeah, my partner had a better forehand, so he wanted the forehand on the deuce side. But anyways.
It's tougher than you think.
Yeah.
All right, big Davis Cup week. Before Davis Cup, obviously, we know Italy won. That picture that Carlos Alcaraz tweeted made its way around the tennis universe. It was Alcaraz tweeting a picture. It was when Spain was playing Germany. Alcaraz was in his living room watching the tie. He put a picture up watching the tie, and the surprise was the Alcaraz living room. It is not what anyone expected. It looks like it is just it's a bad living room. There's a table. There's like a little plastic sheet over. Go ahead, Stevie.
It looks like it's what it should be. If, you know, because if you watched his documentary on Netflix, maybe a year ago, maybe less than a year ago, like this is what his house is like, right? I mean, he still like lives at home with his parents. He's got a small little bedroom and he's doing his workouts and rehabs. It's crazy to me. I feel like they should be able to get a bigger living room, just a bigger comfortable space for the family. But you see this all the time with like the European guys. They live in like their condos, apartments, whatever you want to call it. It's a little surprising, but I do like the subtle flex there with all the trophies in the background. I mean,
there's no flex about this photo.
Dude,
there's a plastic wrap on the table.
Not the US Open trophies or the Wimbledon trophies.
And there's no flex. I agree with Sam. The trophies are in no particular order. He just kind of just put them up there real quick. Yeah. I love it.
There's three white folding chairs in the left side of the photo. Like when they have dinner, they pop up the folding chairs around the kitchen table, and there's a plastic covering on the table. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And like, how humble is this guy?
And Stevie, you sent a picture on our group chat of like Rafa's live, or
is Rafa's the same dude? Like
same thing.
It's the same.
Yeah, we don't know if that's Rafa's necessarily.
We don't know. That's true.
If he's going somewhere to watch like a football match, a big football match, as the picture I sent, like go to like a big house with a 100-inch TV and like relax. Does that not exist in Europe? I don't get it,
dude.
Do
you know what this is? It's the complete 180 of the Cliff Kingsbury Arizona Cardinals draft day photo. Remember that, Sam?
Yes.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Like how badass his living room was. Had the fire on. Yeah. It was like stone everywhere. Like, you know, it was like draft day and like, or whatever it was. It was
the difference between Arizona and Mercy.
The TV's not even centered on the wall. It's so good. Yeah. All right. But anyway, Davis Cup, Italy is now back to back to back champions. No Sinner, no Musetti. It doesn't matter. They did not lose a match all week. They beat, I'm going off the top of my head here. They beat Austria, and then they beat, who they beat second? I called the match. This is embarrassing. I called every single match at Tennis Channel. Belgium, that's right. That amazing match with Zizou Bergs. And then they took out Spain in the finals. Stevie, thoughts on the Davis Cup? Italy winning three times in a row, no Sinner, no Musetti. MVP Kubala in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an equal performance between him and Berrettini. Obviously, Caboli's going to get the bulk of the headlines because of his amazing match with Bergs in the semis. I mean, you call that breaker maybe one of the best breakers of all time.
Yeah, the Zizou Bergs match, for the people that don't know, Caboli beat Zizou Bergs 7-6 in the third set, 17-15 in the third set tiebreaker. I believe Caboli saved six match points. He won it on his eighth match point. It was one of the matches of the year. Crazy drama, sold out arena with 10,000 plus people. It was honestly a bummer that one of them had to lose. But yes, that match alone kind of, I feel like, lifted Caboli to even higher stardom in Italy and like probably the MVP of the Davis Cup.
For sure. I mean, and then to back it up, because I know Sam and I talked about this like briefly, but the scheduling for Davis Cup was insane. They play a couple quarters, then they play like one semi, the next day is another semi. It just doesn't make any sense with any of the scheduling. So Caboli had to come back the next day, right? And like he was out of gas. It looked like early. And then, you know, if that wasn't, look, and this is the point I want to go to back to last week was, if this wasn't like a home tie in Italy, does he have the juice to get out of that, like out of that match, right? If this is played in a neutral site, not for them, you know, obviously, but he got the crowd behind him. He got going and, you know, it was an amazing atmosphere, but that was a home tie for Italy. So like, that's how it should be. Like there should be a home team in a situation in Davis Cup. So, but you can't count out Berrettini. I mean, he hasn't lost a Davis Cup singles match this decade.
It's unbelievable. This guy, we know he's been hurt the last few years. It doesn't matter in Davis Cup. He steps up.
I mean, 22, 24, 25. I mean, the guy's won 10 straight matches in Davis Cup singles. Like that's an impressive mark. I mean, I know it's 2 out of 3. I know it's a different format than it was back in the day, but still like really impressive that to suit up when the country needs you, when your two top guys are out and go out there and take care of business. So they had the most depth of any team and it showed.
Yeah, no, Caboli afterwards said, this is one of the best days of my life. After he saved, it was 7 match points against Zizou Bergs, ripped the shirt off. It was like an insane moment in Davis Cup. John, I want to go to you. It was the Davis Cup this year, as we know, they change up every year. This year was 8 teams in Italy. The only top 10 player that was there was Zverev for Germany. No Sinner, no Alcaraz, no Musetti. In your opinion, and Ross Hutchins is now the CEO of the ITF, what do you think would be the best way to move forward for Davis Cup to get the top 10 players to play the Davis Cup every year?
I think we went over this last week. I go back to Carlos Alcaraz's quote to maybe not, and we've discussed it as well, maybe to not, if possible, to not have it every year, to make the event more unique, to make the event more prestigious. But I get Davis Cup. It funds a lot of little federations around the world. So it's not, it's, you can't just snap your fingers and do that. It might affect so many others. But I think having it not every single year, I think would help. For sure, that would, I think the allure and the attractiveness of the event would come, be a lot more appealing to these top guys. Because obviously these guys are coming, as you, they're going to be coming straight from the World Tour Finals, straight from Paris Indoors. There's a lot of tennis on the schedule, and they need to take a break, you know, in order to gear up for the following season. So it's tough to come off that high if you're a guy like Alcaraz or Sinner from the World Tour Finals, and then gear back up to play Davis Cup. I mean, I know you're playing for your country and everything, and these guys are absolute warriors, but it's just really, really hard to do that for Davis Cup to be ultra successful, and they did a great job. I mean, we were kind of bashing it last week, but
it was awesome
because Italy was in the final, yeah. Right? The atmosphere was just incredible. The drama was awesome. That tiebreaker we spoke about, Caboli versus Bergs, was insane. But you need, I mean, tennis is star driven. It just is. It always has been. And you need these guys in that event. So maybe having it every other year, I think would be good at the world, you know, at the, whatever that group state, what do they call it? The world group or whatever it is. So to have that every other year.
And also remember, like this year, when they do it, even this year, teams play in February and they win. Then they go to September and they got to win. And then they go to this. So it's every year right now, but it's 3 times a year, unless you're the host nation. In this case, it was Italy and you have awarded a wild card to the final. So like Stevie, like John's saying, even if it's every other year, they also need to get rid of it's every other year and 3 times every other year. It's got to be 1 time every other year.
So you want it only 1 time. You want a like one site.
I did, but 16 of the top countries, you know, one site every other year. If you win your first round, you're grandfathered into every other year thing. And if you lose, maybe those got to teams you have to qualify match, one yeah. time during the year or something. Yeah.
Like I get it. I mean, I don't mind that, right? But I want home ties. Like I don't want the finals to be, I mean, could you imagine France versus you know, Czechia in the finals there. Like, I'm assuming that, I mean, the atmosphere will still be decent, but it won't be what it was because it wasn't.
But if you go home ties, then you go back just right to the other format, which is tough.
You know, if, you know, we go back to when we play, like you, if you lost in February, you played one other time after the US Open. So you would at least play 2 matches or 2 ties. Some teams would play more if you made the semis, some teams would play 4. And like John's point was, it's good because you don't want 8 teams after Paris. Like that's a lot of guys still playing tennis. Like it was okay if you had 2 teams, right? You had 2 singles guys, 3 singles guys, and a doubles team playing after. There was only a handful of guys. Now it's 40 guys playing, you know, getting ready for the week after last week. Or I mean, the season is not even over. We've talked about it. It's insane, but it's crazy.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, there's no right format to it. I just don't see it working in the current format. But there's no easy fix. But how do you guys feel? Do you guys see the quarantine Moutet drop shot? I mean, were you calling that one, Sam?
Dude, that was like the miss
for your country.
Of the year.
Imagine like one of you guys doing that, or like I was doing that. You're on the bench. Like you guys would murder me.
Moutet, for people that don't know, France was playing Belgium in the quarterfinals. Moutet is playing Collignon, and Moutet is up a set.
Nice pronunciation there.
Yes,
he's been with Goodall all week.
Also, can we just give him. Please go big shout out to Jason Goodall. How good is Jason Goodall on the mic, and how well is that guy dressed? 3-piece yeah. suit every day with like the British pea coat. It's yeah. unbelievable. But Moutet against Collignon, up a set, second set, He's serving 5-6, 15 all. He's trying to get to a breaker to possibly win. Lob, you know, plays a good point. He's got an overhead 1 foot from the net. And he tries to go, like, let it bounce between the legs, misses it, looks like an idiot. Then he double faults. Then he misses a volley, loses that set. And then he can't even look at his team on the sideline.
And that's then, a bad look, dude. That's
and then in the third set, he wasn't Moutet. He never hit a drop shot. He never hit the underhand serve. He didn't play how he should play and lost. But, man, that is going to be – I don't know if you could pick him again on Davis Cup because of that.
It's tough. But yeah, you can't be surprised if you're his teammates that he did that.
No.
No, of course not. But like, you can still be upset.
You can be upset. Yeah. But if he makes that, I feel like that's a 9 out of 10 shot for him. Seems like he practices it a lot. He just botched that one. Yeah. If he makes that one, it kind of spurs him on to play some really good tennis and close out that match.
Valid. Because you can't pick him on the team and say like, hey man, you're on the team, but all the shenanigans that you do during the match, you can't do that here at Davis Cup.
Yeah, that's what makes him good.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, congrats to Italy.
That'd be a tough one to swallow. You fly all the way over there for a November match.
Fly all the way there. It's like a train ride from France.
I'm saying for us. Like if it was us. Australia or somebody, right? Like you're just like, oof.
Yep.
It's a tough one to swallow.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The ATP award nominees are out. We're going to go through these. We're going to give our picks on who we think is going to win. And then we'll circle back once the awards are given and see who's right. We're going to start with Breakthrough of the Year Award. Breakthrough Player of the Year. Before we get to this one, I'm going to name the four guys that are Breakthrough of the Year. And we're going to talk about one that was left out, I think. But Breakthrough Player of the Year, Jack Draper, João Fonseca, Jakub Mencik, Valentin Vacherot. Why is Lerner Tien not on that list? Stevie?
That's a good question. I do not have the answer to that. That's insane. He's outside. I think he was 128 or 118 to start the year, and he's going to finish the year inside the top 30 and seeded for Australia. Like, that's insane.
He's also 18 years old.
Correct. But this goes back to previous points we've made. He just doesn't 18? Get the fanfare. 19.
He's still 18. 19, dang it.
But he
looks 14.
He doesn't get the fanfare as the other guys do, right? He's quiet. He goes about his business. He just does what he's supposed to do. Doesn't have a hype around like some of the younger guys like Mencik and Fonseca. But I don't think Lerner's going to lose any sleep over this, not being on this award. But he absolutely deserved to be on this list. And I think rightfully like should have won this, quite frankly. I mean, to do what he did, really, really impressive.
Yeah. So who do you take out if he's...
Yeah,
I take out Draper.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know.
Probably Draper.
I mean, look, yeah. He was already like top 15. Like he had made semis of a slam. Like he's already...
Yeah.
Like he's already broken through in my mind. I don't know.
Why can't they just have five nominees?
I mean, that's no disrespect to Draper.
No.
Right?
All right, so let's go here.
I feel like he's already broken through.
Who's winning this? Draper, Fonseca, Mencik, Vacherot. Breakthrough of Player of the Year.
Who votes on it? That's a big... Because if it's like the people, then it's going to be Fonseca just because he's got so much, I think, clout.
So you're going Fonseca.
Which is a great pick. I mean, no?
Yeah.
I mean, from February to like the fanfare and everything he had like early in the year.
He won two tournaments, including a 500 in Basel.
Correct. So I have no problem with him winning it, as, you know, but.
John, who are you going with?
It's got to be our boy Val. I mean, come on.
Vacherot?
Yes. You kidding me?
No, I get the argument. No, I know, but he won a Masters Series, which is incredible, and then made a quarterfinal of one other one.
He only had one other opportunity.
Yes, exactly. No. He backed up and he seeded. I mean, you talk about a guy that was like an alternate in Shanghai qualies to...
I guess it is to, breakthrough of the year.
2 months later is seeded at the Australian Open. Like, really?
You know what's going to be an underrated bonus for Vacherot that no one's talking about is the year-end 1,000 bonus, because he's going to be one of the top guys because he won one.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's going to make
no one knows. It's weird. Those bonuses, for people that are listening, they have a bonus for all the players at the end of the year, ranked 1 through 30, and it's how well you did in the Masters Series. just take out the majors and just Masters Series. Take out how well you did in the majors and the 250s. But when you that this is the big argument with the schedule. When you miss the Masters Series, your bonus is slashed.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the ATP doesn't talk a lot about it. We don't know what the bonuses are. They're kind of hush hush about it. But Vacheron, does he get part? He didn't play in the other Masters Series because he wasn't in them. How does the bonus work for him?
That I don't know, because I don't think they've really had too many guys that have been in the opportunity that Vacheron has had. But I do believe, you know, it's a pretty big size chunk to miss to miss a Masters Series. Like if you don't go, that's why I think somebody like Shelton played Shanghai, maybe not at 100%.
I heard your bonus is slashed 25% from that bonus pool for every Masters Series you miss. I heard that. I don't know.
That's what I have heard as well. And they give you some type of reduction if you go and you do media obligations, right? Like things like that. But who's going to fly somewhere just to, you know, because I think you get half of it back if you go there and do some media, which is crazy. Might as well just go there and lose first round.
I wish the ATP would publish that top 30 list with breakdown prize money of what the bonuses were.
I mean,
don't they add it to the players' prize money? Like end of the year, like prize money,
or do they? I heard that, but again, like the ATP is quiet. Yeah. No one really knows what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, well,
it used to be pretty well known that it was like when we played, it was top 12.
Top 12.
If you're 13, right. You're, you know, SOL, right?
Yep.
It was top 12, and I feel like that was pretty well known. But it doesn't seem to be advertised that much.
No,
Sam, at all.
Not.
No.
I mean, it says number one here is 3.8 million.
Oh.
Number two is 1.9, 1.1, 900, 700, 600, 500, 400 for 1 through 8.
What's the guy ranked 30 get? Does it say?
Says 150K.
Damn.
Okay. So, wow. So, basically, guys 10 to 30 are all getting between like 100 and 200.
10 is getting 367 and 30 is getting 150.
All right.
Okay, so it just slashed by 10 grand basically as you work your way down.
Yeah, some are like 10. Some, I mean, obviously it gets a little bit lower at the end, too.
They're big bonuses as Stevie's reading off. Also for Breakthrough Player of the Year, I'm going Vacheron too. Now that I hear John talk about it, Vacheron's Breakthrough Player of the Year.
Before we go, it does say here 25% for one missed, 50% missed for two, 75% for three. So 25% for each one you miss.
But also there's some like a guy like Novak can afford to. He's got all these.
Correct. There's different clauses. Rules for the older guys. Yeah, you could have opted in, as we all would have done.
They still have those rules?
If you were older.
Yeah, they used to have these rules where, you know, if you were over 30, you were allowed to miss one. If you had given 12 years of service to the tour, you were allowed to miss a second one and not get penalized. If you had, you know, played over 600 matches, you were allowed to miss a third one. So there were there are some rules for some of the older guys. All right, let's move on to Stefan Edberg's Sportsmanship Award. We got Carlos Alcaraz, Felix Auger-Aliassime, Grigor Dimitrov, Casper Ruud. I feel like all these guys have probably been nominated before.
They all should be.
Let me go. Let's go John first this time. Who are you giving the Sportsmanship Award to? I mean, they could all get it.
Didn't Federer dominated this for years and years and years, right?
I think he won like 18 of 20 years this or something like that.
There's no right or wrong answer here. I'm going with Grigor, I think, just because of what happened at Wimbledon.
Okay.
You know, I just think that kind of tugged at a lot of people's heartstrings there. That was just tough to see. And he was just so classy throughout all of that. So I'll go Grigor. I think he'd be a great recipient of this.
I'll go next on this one. Give me Alcaraz. I feel like every time he takes the court, he's got a smile on his face. Seems like a very gracious opponent when being defeated. I mean, even yesterday when Italy beat Spain, big on Instagram, just big shout out to the Italians. He generally seemed happy for them. Give me Alcaraz. Stevie?
I'll take Felix just because of his perspective on the game and life.
Yeah, he had that great quote, you know, when everyone's complaining about the schedule.
Maybe a little recency bias, but still.
Oh,
Felix, I've never seen him not smiling in the locker room, players' lounge.
Sam, can you say, you got me on some grammar last week. Can you say genuinely again?
Genuinely?
But did you say generally or genuinely earlier?
I hope I said genuinely, but.
Okay. It sounded generally.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just, I mean, I want to, so, all right,
you know, if I said it, sure. I meant genuinely.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Because. You got no support for that, by the way.
I did get support, dude. I did get support. Little. I got.
But just Google it. Hey, by the way, Google it. You're wrong.
I got some support.
Just Google it. I got some support. Coach of the year. I'm probably going to botch some of these names because we don't know all the coaches. Benjamin Bellere, that's the coach of Vacherot. We have Darren Cahill and Simone Vegnozzi. They're the coaches of Yannick Sinner. Juan Carlos Ferrero and Samuel Lopez, they're coaching Carlos Alcaraz. And Frederick Fontang, whose coach is Felix Auger-Aliassime. And Brian Shelton, who is coaching Ben Shelton. Back to Stevie, who are you giving it to? This one is so tough.
Well, I mean,
we're going to have this discussion, but if a monkey was coaching Alcaraz right now, would Alcaraz still be top one or two?
Yeah. Yes.
Like maybe. It's like yes, tough to tell on these yes, coaching things.
So that's the hard part, right? Like, I mean, we only have such a small sample size. I mean, just based on exactly what you just said, I think that Sinner, Alcaraz, Felix, like are going to be just fine with whoever's coaching them. So to me, it's either between Ben and Vacherot, just because I don't know. So I'm going to give it to Ben, but I would give it to to Brian Shelton, Ben's dad, because it felt as if there was things missing in his game, like glaring weaknesses, you know, for a bit of time. We're talking a year ago, 2 years ago, that are now strengths, or they're no longer weaknesses. So they've done a great job of shoring up those mistakes, maybe the wrong word, but like those little soft spots in his game. And now there's no weaknesses. So for me, I think I'm going to give it to Brian Shelton just for what he's done with Ben and having him grow on tour and still getting better and better each time he goes out there.
Yeah. John?
I'm going to give it to Freddie Fontang, coach of Felix. He's been with Felix forever. Like it's cool through to see all that. The yeah. ups and yeah. downs, right? We talk about how streaky Felix is, and he's had he's gone months where he hasn't won many matches at all. And he's finished last couple years, he's finished pretty low in the rankings. He sticks with his guys. He sticks with his team. Felix does. They clearly have a great relationship. I'm going to go Freddie because they've just stuck with it. And now he finished top five in the world. A lot of great candidates. Brian Shelton's a great call. For me, I'll give it to Fontang, just a little bit over Brian.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go Juan Carlos Ferrero and Samuel Lopez for Alcaraz. I feel like the coaching almost changes sometimes the higher you get. Like they're coaching Alcaraz. How do they keep him engaged mentally week in, week out?
Totally.
You know, in a way, it's different when you're coaching a guy that's like playing slam finals all the time as opposed to coaching a guy ranked 60. I know nothing about it, but like, I'm going to give it to those guys.
Yeah, I think like to your point, like guys, the Killer and Vegnozzi and Ferrero and Samuel Lopez.
Yeah.
Like it's not so much the work they do on the court. Like, yes, they need to keep improving because like they're as we talk about, not even hit their prime. It's like, how do you relax these guys? Like, what do you do off the court to get them to take the court in the best frame of mind?
Totally. They're coaching their mind.
Exactly. They've done such a good job. Like for Carlos, it's playing golf as he played a lot of golf during the US Open and dominated that event. So I think as a coach, you're like, man, I probably don't want my guy like golfing on his day off, but he's different. He needs to get away from the hectic scene that is the US Open and get on the golf course a little bit. So I think they've realized that and they know exactly how to get their guys ready to go.
And Cahill was saying for Sinner loves Formula One. If there's an off day at a slam, you know, there's a Formula One race that's going on at 12, you know, Darren's like, we 100% like don't practice during the Formula One race or right before it, right after it. Like we'll practice at 8 a.m. or 6 p.m. Like he knows that it's just like Sinner needs that in order to be relaxed and watch it. So by the way, for the first time, the members of the exclusive ATP number one club, anyone who's been ranked number one, those are the guys that are voting on Breakthrough Player of the Year. Just those guys. So that handful, I don't know how many, you know, 50 guys. Those are the guys that are voting.
29.
So are they going to like Rod Laver and be like, hey, what were your thoughts on Menchik this year?
was he open era?
Yeah, oh, that's open also era? Different.
I don't know, but you know.
I don't know. But anyway, we'll figure it out.
That's funny.
That's funny. All right, those are the awards we've got for the year. Also, quick little Maldives watch. Zverev and Sinner looks like they're on a flight together to the Maldives.
Yep.
I wonder if they're going to the I wonder if they're going to the same resort. Who knows? But have a good time, those two. Otherwise,
there's just got to be more. I mean, yeah, but there's having more, but number
Dose,
one,
Dose is currently there.
Yeah, having two and three. Shout out Alcaraz for just like hanging in Murcia,
right? Just hanging in that little,
watching his little brother play tennis. Did y'all see that? There was a yeah, like
it's so cool.
Love it.
All right, that's it for the Monday show. Good stuff. Hey, everyone subscribe, hit the subscribe button. Nothing major on YouTube, Spotify, Instagram, Apple Pod. I know it does nothing, but just hit it for us. So
this hurts you every time.
Yeah, we need it. We need it. All right, see everyone Friday. We got Collins Friday.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.